Okay, good morning. This is 2 Corinthians, it's lesson 7, chapter 10. When last we left Paul, he was in joy. The last few chapters gave us Titus's report that the misunderstanding between Paul and the Corinthians has been resolved. He also encouraged the Corinthians to give generously when his representatives came to collect the community's contribution for the church in Jerusalem. Now, moving into these last chapters is an interesting experience due to the change in Paul's tone. Language becomes stronger, a little defensive, and sometimes sarcastic. As we've said before, there is the thought that 2 Corinthians is a letter made up of many of Paul's letters. Some scholars say that these last chapters may have been written first. Others say that maybe these last chapters are that tearful letter that was lost. The debate continues, but what we do know is that in this particular chapter, Paul turns his focus to the missionaries he spoke about earlier. Paul's language gets a little more direct about the fact that his authority comes from Jesus. Jesus Christ and his mission is to bring about Christ-like obedience within the Corinthian community. This authority is for the building up of the community. He also defends his boasting in that he only boasts in Christ. Using the image of Jesus' gentleness and mercy, Paul presents himself as a humble warrior in God's army, engaged in a battle to bring about obedience within the Corinthian church. Paul and his ministers do not battle according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God. Christ is the source of their authority. Paul seeks to emulate Jesus' gentleness in his role as the father of the Corinthian community. Paul also brings up Jesus' gentle behavior toward others and how that behavior of these outside ministers does not fall in line with Christ's ways. In fact, their attack on Paul's character and leadership is in contrast to the values and behavior of Christ. We can tell by Paul's tone that he's hurt. But even in the midst of this, he calls the Corinthians to emulate Christ's gentleness, love, and mercy, and to maintain peaceful relationships with each other and with Paul and his team, even when Paul must correct their behavior. It appears that some of the disruptors have accused Paul of being inconsistent and cowardly. They accuse him of being humble when he is in with the Corinthian Christians, but he's brave and bold in criticizing them in his letters when he's far away. They also accuse Paul of acting according to the flesh, meaning human behavior that is not divinely sanctioned. Paul acknowledges that he is in the flesh, in that he shares in the human condition. However, he does not battle according to the flesh, meaning in the struggles he faces to spread the gospel of salvation, he has the power of the Almighty behind him, and therefore his weapons are enormously powerful. This conversation is a reminder that we are all in this world, but we're not of this world. Our true home is in heaven with God. So when we face persecution or any challenge in life, we must call on all the spiritual weapons God has given us. Prayer, sacraments, scripture, and our community of faith are truly powerful tools to utilize when we're struggling with any life issue. Paul gives us a recipe to follow when we are persecuted. First, with the truth of the gospel, we can destroy arguments that are made against God. Second, be obedient to Christ in all things. If we live life this way, we can spread the gospel message with our lives, just as Paul and his team do with their work. And third stage of this war for Christ is to punish every disobedience once your obedience is complete. In other words, we need to call our fellow Christians to be accountable to Christ. This is done in community. We call each other to live in Christ, and sometimes that means we have to speak the truth in love by correcting bad behavior. Sometimes it is our own bad behavior that we need to correct. Paul urges the Corinthians to adopt Christ-like behavior in their relationship with God by submitting to correction within the community delivered by God's ordained representatives like Paul and his team. Paul and his team have received the power to judge, and we can see that in John 20, 22 through 23. And they will use that power for the good of God's church in their fight against evil forces that seek to destroy their good work within the community. Paul wants them to look and see that he and his team belong to Christ and carry Christ's power and authority. Those in the community who believe they belong to Christ should realize that they are in unity with Paul and his team. Their very existence attests to the authority given to Paul and his team by Christ. As we move to the end of this chapter, Paul qualifies his reason for boasting. Paul is committed to keeping to the limits or standard that God has assigned them. Paul's boasting is in giving witness to the success God has given him in spreading the gospel of salvation by founding faith communities. Paul does not take credit for other people's labors, and these self-recommended missionaries should not take credit for his. In verse 17, Paul writes, "Whoever boasts should boast in the Lord." This is what legitimate boasting should be. In Jeremiah 9, 22 through 23, God says this to the prophet. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor the strong man glory in his strength, nor the rich man glory in his riches. But rather, let him who glories glory in this, that in his prudence he knows me. He knows that I, the Lord, bring about kindness, justice, and uprightness in the earth. For such am I pleased, says the Lord." That's Jeremiah 9, 22 through 23. For me, this chapter reminds me of two things that I learned long ago. One is that when I'm persecuted, I'm to look to the Lord for strength in how I defend myself. Jesus was kind, he was loving and patient, but he was never weak. He preached the truth and continued to do so even when some of his followers walked away. He patiently answered the questions that were asked of him even when he knew his persecutors were trying to catch him in a trap. He followed the will of God even though that meant death on a cross. So I must always stand in the truth that is God, my Creator, my Savior, and help. Be strong in defense of that truth, but defend by speaking that truth in love. I must be patient with those who don't understand me and loving to those who want to hurt me. Above all else, I answer to God, and discerning and following His will is my life mission. In order to do that, I must die to any selfish ambitions, study scripture, partake in the sacraments, immerse myself in prayer, and stay connected to a community of faith. The other reminder I receive from this chapter is that God gets all the glory. If I truly look at my life, the reality is that I have nothing and am nothing without God. God is my Creator, my Savior, my help. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is my beginning and my end. In all that I do, God gets the glory, honor, and praise because it is through him that I can do all things. Paul calls on the Corinthians to fully commit to Christ and his way. So that is our call as well. We are broken by sin, living in this world, but if we turn to God, he will pour out his grace on us, and that grace will give us what we need to follow his will. The song that I chose is called, it's by Matt Redman, and it's called Gracefully Broken.